I can put you to sleep. I can rock you to sleep.
Okay.
All right. Amen. Okay.
Parshas Pekudei.
Parshas Pekudei, page 538. And put your bookmark there, please. And also on Parshas, page 538.
The stone edition,
of course. And be so kind and turn to Parshas Sisa. Not Sisa. Page 486. Mamish, 486. Yeah, too mystical for me. If it was. Guy is seen on see mystical if you got found of space. See geistig. Okay. 486. Okay. Now, of course, in the last many weeks we talked about the cure and about washing the hands, but it's all new topic, so don't zaitruig. Nayinyon. Okay. Now in Parshas Pekudei, page 538, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're actually implementing, we're fulfilling what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. This is the eighth day of the Miluyim, right? There are 7 days of inauguration. This is the eighth day. So it says in the Torah that they're getting it all ready and they're going to do whatever they have to do on the eighth day. So it says in the Torah, in page 538, Pasuk Lamed, by Yosem es HaKior, they place the Kior. Right? Yeah, they placed the kir ben oil meid ben amizbech vayit neshama mayim lerochza, they filled it with water, and then it says lamed aleph verochatzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron uvonov es yedeyem ve'es regleyem, and then it continues v'voyom el oil meid v'karvatzim al amizbech yuchatzu kashusiv Hashem es Moshe. When they enter the oil meid, so then they will, and they do the work, they serve the service, they have to wash their hands, as Hashem commanded Moshe. Okay. We have basically just about the identical pasuk earlier, except Moshe is not mentioned there. That is in page 486, where there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu, the initial commandment, and it says in the Torah, Varoch Atzu, in pasuk Yutes, Hashem speaks to Moshe. Well, maybe it's interesting. He's speaking to Moshe, so he's telling him what to do with others. Okay, but it makes no difference. So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yutes, right? The third line on page 486 in the Stone Edition. Verochatzu Aaron uvonov mimenu, es yedeyim ves ragleim, bevoyom eloyel meid yechotzu mayim veloyomusu, correct? So there it says, Verochatzu Aaron uvonov mimenu, Aaron and his sons. Here it says, Moshe. What does it say in the Pasuk? Verochatzu mimenu Moshe, Aaron uvonov, correct? Says Rashi. So that's where Rashi comes and tells us something. Rashi says, V'rochatzu mimenu Moshe v'yaren ubonov. Says Rashi, Yom shmini l'milui. It was the eighth day of the inauguration. Hushvu kulam l'kohuna. They all were kohanim. They were all equally kohanim. In other words, Moshe was a Kohen, Rashi already said in Parshas Tetzaveh, according to Rashi at least, in Parshas Tetzaveh, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen for 7 days, for the 7 days of the inauguration, and Aaron was not a Kohen. He was merely the Baalim. He was merely those who, so to speak, were in training, and they were just, when the Korban is brought in the, because there was the training. So when the Korban is brought, Aaron wasn't the Kohen who brought it. It was Moshe Rabbeinu is the Kohen, and Aaron is the Baalim, like the commoner who's bringing it to Moshe. Okay? And Moshe shows him what has to be done. Nevertheless, of the eighth day of the Miluim, says Rashi, as the Mefarshim explained, Yom Shmini LeMiluim Hushvu Kulam LeKuhuna, right? On the eighth day of the Miluim, everybody was equally a Kohen. Not just Moshe was the Kohen, but Aaron too was the Kohen. According to Rashi, what happens after the eighth day of inauguration? Aaron remains the Kohen, and Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a Levi. Just goes back to becomes a Levi, Ois Kohen. According to Rashi, others have total different opinions. There's a Gemara in Zvachim, Dafka, Falav, and Kuv Beis. We'll come to it soon. Okay, that's Rashi, because we're learning Rashi. Then Rashi continues on and he says...
There wasn't much of washing his hands in
the excuse me, that was till the full stop, yeah? Now Rashi says, V'targumoy umikachin v'yikachun minei. So Rashi says, Boy b'yoyim kiddush Moshe imoha. So Rashi then adds, and he says, look, the Targum says v'yikachin or umikachin, which actually has a total different connotation, a total different definition, even though it's a different text, right? One text of the Targum reads v'yikachin, another text of the Targum reads umikachin. So it's already brought to our attention, Rav, in the Eshkol edition, the Weinfeld edition of the Chumash, and also in the Artscroll edition of the Chumash, they bring from a Sefer Nefesh Hager. Okay, and the Sefer Nefesh Hager, who is a commentary on the Targum, is in his Targum. It was written in Parshas Sisa. It says Verochatzu. In Parshas Pekude, it also says Verochatzu. It sounds like it's the same Verochatzu. Nevertheless, the Targum in Kitisa says Verochatzu. He defines V'yikachun. But when it comes to Parshas Pekudei, he defines it umikachin. That's what Rashi's text is that way. The Targumoy umikachin. And you'll take your stand. Listen, this is a complicated, sophisticated, modern-day invention, this Chumash. Take a Yiddish Chumash. You'll see that in your normal Targum it says umikachin. Okay? Like Rashi quotes. Okay. What's the difference between you? V'yikachun umikachin is as follows. V'yikachun means this is a commandment for the future. They should and they will, right? They should, so to speak. Umikachin means they happened to wash their hands. They did wash their hands. And the Rashi is basically conveying to you that the definition of Verochatzu here is different than the Verochatzu there in Kisisa. And with that we'll appreciate. Basically, this is what the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra says... That's why Moshe is not mentioned here, and Moshe is mentioned here. Why? Says the Ibn Ezra in his Pirush HaOruch and his Pirush HaKotzer. He has a lengthy Pirush, which is in your standard promotion. Then he has also a Pirush HaKotzer, a shortened version of whatever. Sometimes there are additions there. So actually he has some additional information in his Pirush HaKotzer. It's found in the Artscroll, in the Moshe Darav Cook's edition and in other editions, whatever. It, basically he says, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding him for generations. Verochatzu Aaron, Ubonav, Mimenu, Yisidayim, Esraglayim. Right? So for generations, who are going to be the Kohenim? Aaron, his sons. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch is telling you, Barochatzu, Aaron, the one of Yudayim, Israelim. He's speaking to Moshe and he says that the sons, your Aaron and his sons, who are the Kohenim, should wash their hands. Here the Torah is saying, Barochatzu, basically we're discussing what occurred in the days of the inauguration. Or like Rashi says, of the eighth day, right? And then it so happens that Moshe is also the Kohen. So that's why the Torah mentions also, in the context of Aaron, we also incorporate Moshe, because Moshe is identical to the Aaron there. But for the generations, Moshe is a Levi, and Aaron is the Kohen. So, but Pashtos, that's where the Ibn Ezra learns, that's where originally we don't mention the Moshe, and here we mention the Moshe. Chokolom, correct?
Is there a difference between Godel in this area, in this stage, or not?
The Pashtus, no. It, at externally, at first glance, simply when you're in simple pshat, no. No difference whatsoever. You're talking about in relation to what? Washing your hands?
Korbanos, who does the avodah?
No, you bring it's a Yom Kippur, the Kohen Godel has to do the avodah. But if Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, there's an opinion in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph on the Beis, which will come too soon, that he was actually a Kohen Gadol, not just for the days of the inauguration, he was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years. All throughout the 40 years, he was a Kohen Gadol. That's Rav's opinion. The Gemara says it's a Machlokes in Tanoi, whatever. Some say he just was removed from his children, his siblings, his descendants, his offspring became Levites, but he himself remained a Kohen Gadol. That's a separate discussion. We'll just highlight it. We'll definitely touch on that. The Rogatchev touches on that big time. But I'm a Nekuda. So that's the simple, when you look at the Pasuk. Now, Rashi then adds, good evening, Boy b'yom kiddush Moshe imohem, right? So basically, Rashi says kiddush now, and we mentioned long ago. Even though the pasuk says v'rachatzu, which means to wash, the Targum already says it means v'yikachun, doesn't mean just washing, right? We're actually consecrating one's hands, right? It's called kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So it's not like netilas yadayim. So therefore, the Targum both here and there. See, Sam, could they explain Verochatzu means V'yikachin Umikachin because it is actually a country, we're sanctifying the hands, not just washing hands. You get it? So before they enter to do the avodah, according to certain rishonim, even if they just enter the chambers and they don't do the avodah, you have to wash. They have to wash their hands and feet in the manner which we discussed. I'm not going to go back to it now. Now Rashi says mefurish boy biyoyim kidesh Moshe imohem. Okay. Now, so the Rogat Shofar Goin says learns this Rashi and he says, you know, from this Rashi seems to stress, and you said something like that. Rashi says that day Moshe sanctifies his hands with them. In other words, they are sanctifying their hands today because they're doing the Avodah and they are the Kohenim. That day he's sanctifying his hands with them. Now, if you want to learn the Rashi in sequence, it means, it doesn't sound anything like anything novel. Just like he's doing the Avodah that day. So therefore, with them, so just like they do the Avodah, the Kohenim do the service and they can't sanctify their hands and feet, the same Moshe Rabbeinu is continuously in the 7 days during the Avodah and also on the 8th day, and he sanctifies his hands with them. But no, it says boy by you. Rashi adds another statement. Boy biyoyim kiddush Moshe imo. That day he sanctifies his hands with them. So the Rogat Shofar understands from this Rashi that only that day he sanctifies his hands with them. What's going on here?
With them, but it's not the first
day. They said that. Well, basically, Rashi said that already. Rashi said, Yehoshua Kulum Lekohuna. Alright? So, if we're saying that the novelty of this Rashi is, what is novel in this Rashi is that they came along with Moshe. So, therefore, we have the Kohenim, all the family is one family, one unit today. Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. So, the Rashi could have sufficed. And you would have said, Yehoshua Lemiluim, Yehoshua Kulum Lekohuna. Rashi adds another statement. Rashi then says, Boy, be Yom, Kiddush Moshe Imam. He's telling you another statement. What is that? That even though today everybody's a Kohen, which till now only Moshe was the Kohen, nevertheless you should know, today Moshe Rabbeinu is washing his hands with them. Until now Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wash his hands. Now, to say that the Chiddush is Moshe Rabbeinu is washing his hands with them, of course, he's a Kohen with them. They're surely washing their hands. Because they're the Kohen. And Rashi said already he's a Kohen with them. So we finished with them already. So Rashi seems to give a statement, convey a statement, and a message in relation to Moshe. Says the Rogat Shofar Goin, that Rashi follows with the opinion of the Tosfos and Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Dalet. Interesting, isn't it? Nuv Gevayis from Azat Tosfos. Big chiddush of the Tosfos. And we mentioned this once before, if I recall correctly, but it's getting late because that's really not the ikar of our shir. Sorry, it's always that way. The Gemara asks as follows. In Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Dalet, the Medalev says to the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Tanna Rabbi Akiva, visited a place called Ginzak. If that's the correct way how to express it, okay? Yeah, he visits this city, and they basically took him to task. They ask him 3 questions. And on each one he says he didn't know, couldn't help them. One of the 3 questions is as follows. In Yimei HaMiluyim, in the time when Moshe Rabbeinu is inaugurating the Mishkan, what kind of garments was he wearing? What was he dressed in? Was he wearing the Shmoyne Big Dikuna? Was he wearing Big Dikuna? And he couldn't be wearing Big Dikuna. Why? Because Big Dikuna, basically like the Mepharshim explained, the Big Dikuna, the priestly garments, became sanctified only after, on the 8th day. Because on the 8th day, Hashem says, we have to anoint Aaron, anoint his sons, anoint the garments, and then it becomes Big Dikuna. That's what they went into this Medrash. Morant says, "Bibi Telofon." How does Rashi know? How do you know? Because Rashi says. And how does Rashi know? Because Rashi also saw the Gemara in Sechta with the Zohar of Lamedal. Shkoyach. Seder Yafeh. Excellent. It all matches up. So basically, that's, and we're explaining what the Gemara asked. What was the issue? What's the problem? Problem is because there's no big tikkun. So what is he wearing? He's inaugurating and he's doing avodah. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu wearing? So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva couldn't help them, and in the Beis Medrash they reconciled it. They said that he wore big day lovon, special white garments. Finished. Now Tosfos brings to our attention that what did the Dafka ask in relation to, well, this is basically all what we just mentioned. Why are they asking Dafka in relation to the Zayin Yimei HaMiluyim? Right? So we mentioned already, right? Because there was no consecrated garments yet at the time. Tosfos then brings to our attention the opinion of the one who has the opinion of the Amora, who has the opinion Rav, who holds in Mesicht HaZvachim Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years. So why didn't the Anshe Ginzak ask Rabbi Akiva what kind of garments did he wear? Did he wear Shmoyne Begadim for 40 years? Etc., etc., etc. Basically, Tosfos concludes, Tosfos says as follows. Tosfos says, you should know, like Tosfos, like I mentioned a minute ago. Tosfos says you should know the reason they're asking about the Zayin Yemei HaMiluyim is because that's where the main problem is, because the garments weren't yet sanctified, they weren't yet anointed, so what garments is he wearing? Therefore they asked about Dafka, about the Zayin Yemei HaMiluyim. Afterwards we have Bigdikuna, but up till the 8th day of the inauguration we don't have any Bigdikuna. What is Moshe Rabbeinu wearing? The answer is, he's wearing Bigdikuna. Then Tosfos continues on and he says, the Ring Meor Leinish, one of the Rishonim, okay, one of the known, well, known, not the frequent, but frequently mentioned, but yeah, one of the Rishonim, the classics, he says as follows, that even if the Bigdei Kohuna, listen carefully, even if they were consecrated priestly garments from day one, when they started putting up the Mishkan, and from day one, nevertheless, their question is valid. What garments did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? Because it doesn't make any sense that they should wear the Bigdei Kohuna. Why? Says Tosfos, due to the fact that the Mishnah says at the end of Mesichta Zvachim that Bigdei Kohuna are needed in the Beis HaMikdash. And Bigdei Kohuna are needed in the Mishkan. When you do service to Hashem, and a Kohen is serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and when the Kohen is serving Hashem in the Mishkan, you have to wear Bigdei Kohuna. And the Gemara says, if he doesn't have the Bigdei Kohuna on him, so it's Enku, Nasam, Aleim, they don't have the sanctity of a Kohen, etc. But, says the Rimu or Leinish, that in the 7 days of inauguration, in the Shivis Yimei HaMiluyim, the Mishkan was put up and taken apart daily, says Tosfos. So it had no din of a Mishkan. It had a din of a bomb. It had no Kedushas Mishkan. It had a din of a bomb. Says Tosfos, in the end, the last Mishnah of Mesechta Zvachim, it says the Rimu or Leinish, that the difference between the bomb and the rest, and Mishkan and Mikdash, is that a bomb does not need Bigdei Kohuna. You don't need a Kohen to do the service on a bomb when it brings a sacrifice on a bomb. The Melech, it says the Mishnah, therefore there's no Bigdei Kohuna, there's no Bigdei Kohuna needed. Okay? So there's no Bigdei Kohuna worn. The Melech says the Rimu or Leinish, these fellows in Ginzik, ask Rabbi Akiva very well, that due to the fact that the Mishkan has a criteria of a bomber for the 7 days during the inauguration of the 7 days, so therefore they ask, what is he wearing? Bigdei Kohuna? Why did he wear Bigdei Kohuna? If we had sanctified Bigdei Kohuna, why should they wear Bigdei Kohuna? A bomber doesn't need Bigdei Kohuna. Says the Mishnah. Rashi says Shmini. Shmini Lemiloim. Shmini Lemiloim. Shmini Lemiloim. The eighth day. Eighth. Some say it's Rosh Chodesh, some say it's Chesnis. By the way, it's not Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just by the way. Okay, Vaita. I'll call upon him. Siguta. So this is what Tosfos says. And we now have an opinion in the Rishonim who claim that the Mishkan, until it was actually put up on the eighth day, had a criteria, halachically, of a definition of a bomber. Now, I understand from the Tosfos, I didn't have a chance. Maybe I did have a chance, but I just didn't go out of my way to look. From the terminology, from the language of the Tosfos, it seems that Tosfos is of the opinion that it has a din of a bomber because it wasn't stationary, it wasn't permanent, right? In other words, it was just put up and taken apart, put up and taken apart, daily and in the evening. Every day it was taken apart and put up. So therefore, it's, so to speak, temporary, like it's not a set thing, even though a Mishkan is also temporary. But it wasn't permanent relative to the Mishkan, and therefore it has a din of a bomba. That's the language. Read the Tosfos, that's the language. But I saw in Meshech Chochma for Rav Meir Simcha, where he quotes this Tosfos at the beginning of Parshas Truma, if I recall correctly, he says that due to the fact that the Mishkan wasn't yet anointed, maybe that's what he means. That's the pshat in the Tosfos. Tosfos says that due to the fact that it was taken apart daily, and when was it put up permanently? Only on the eighth day. And only then was it anointed. Tosfos doesn't say it, but that's what Rav Meir Simcha says. Now, due to the fact that the Mishkan was first anointed initially on the eighth day, the Melech, therefore, there was no sanctity of a Mishkan. It didn't have a Kedushas Mishkan. It only had a Kedushas Bomba. It had the sanctity of a Bomba. Therefore, they said there's no Bigdei Kohuna. So it's good what they ask. What the Rabbi Chavra basically says as follows. Now, if that's good enough for the Rimu or Leinish, so here the Rabbi Chavra comes and extends it. He says, you know what else it says in that Mishnah? In the Mishnah it says that the bomba, the difference between a bomba and a Beis HaMikdash and a Mishkan is as follows. that the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan, before the Kohenim enter to do the service, they have to wash their hands and feet. They have to sanctify their hands and feet. But a Bama, you don't have to sanctify your hands and feet. Aha! Wah! That when Rashi says over here, that day Moshe Rabbeinu sanctifies his hands with Aaron. So what is understood? We deduce from that prior to that, he did not wash his hands, sanctify his hands with them, even though he's doing the avodah and he's a kohen. Why and how can that be? It's punk, like Tosfos says in relation to Big Day Kuna. The identical thing is, and it's like a Mishamish with Big Day Lova. So there's another exception. He also doesn't need to wash his hands and feet, doesn't sanctify his hands and feet throughout the 7 days. Doesn't?
So why did he wash his
hands? Doesn't the Rabbi Chavar Mechadish? Lozamarut. Midem is recht. Midem is recht. Why? Here it says, Varochatsu Yideim Veragleim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. You get it? And here on the 8th day, Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned. Why? Because all the 7 days, according to this opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu is not washing his hands. So in addition to what we said, that this is talking for generations, right? Correct? But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding him, Bechlal, anytime there's a service, you have to wash your hands. Due to the fact that this pasuk also incorporates, so to speak, is referring to place the kir and the kanoi and the service has to be done. But Al Kolponim, it didn't apply then. It only applies on the 8th day. So therefore the Torah doesn't mention Moshe here. But on the 8th day, only then did it start applying. Who cares? That's not relevant to me.
So
but because on the 8th day it does apply.
It was only Aaron.
But Moshe is a kohen on the 8th day.
But Moshe was kohen the whole week, wasn't he?
Pardon?
Wasn't he kohen the whole week with Aaron?
Wasn't he? Correct. Not Aaron. I just mentioned that. You came late. Sorry, excuse me. Titzrashi says in Tetzaveh that Aaron is the Bailim and Moshe is the kohen. Aaron is not. Aaron only becomes a kohen on the 8th day.
So Aaron, one of them, not.
Our Bailim and Moshe is the Kohen, according to Rashi.
A whole week.
According to Rashi, Parshas Tzavah. The Chiddush of the 8th day is Hushvu, that they're all Kohenim. But they weren't all Kohenim till now. But Akhopana Moshe was a Kohen. So the Shaila is, why is he only washing his hands now? The Torah is the Shita of that it's together, boom. That's one way. So the Rav Chavar goes on to say and tell us as follows. You should know that this Rashi doesn't coincide with Rashi's own opinion. Rashi's own opinion, Misachta Zvochim Daf Yutesamud Beis. There the Rashi says as follows. Here the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the kir has to, what was the size of the, how much, the volume, how much water does it have to contain? So the Gemara says that the kir has to contain for generations. In order for the kir should be a suitable kir, al pi halacha, it has to be able to wash 4 koyanim simultaneously. 4 koyanim. And the Gemara quotes, according to the texts in the Sechta Zvachim Daf Yutes, according to some claim that in all the manuscripts of the Shas, so is written, but I'll call upon him in our texts, it's written, the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Varochatsu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron ubonov. Yeah? Moshe v'Aaron ubonov. It's warm in here, right? The air conditioner's on here. Is it?
Is it?
You think so? I told you that if you think it's on, it's cool, right?
No, it is on.
You sure?
It's programmed to go on, but maybe not working right now.
Okay, all of a sudden I just feel a bit okay. It's me, it's all right. Ich schwitz doesn't mean to say it's not on. Lama farm. Zu spät. A minute. So I'll call upon him. So the Gemara says, those are the four. We're the four, so we know from it. But it's the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Barochatsu mimenu. And according to our text in the Shas, it reads also, Moshe v'Aaron ubonov. Okay? So Rashi, and also the Shita Mekubetzes, but we're talking about Rashi now. Shita's Rashi. Rashi says, he says, Moshe v'Aaron v'Bonav, that's the four. Moshe's one, Aaron's two, Bonav are two. Who are they? Elazar v'Isamar. Because at this point, on the 8th day, at least Nadav Aviv passed away, right? So therefore we don't count Nadav Aviv. So therefore we have four. Moshe v'Aaron v'Bonav. So therefore there's four, so from there we derive that for generations we need four. Then Rashi starts querying, and Rashi says, listen. Rashi says that we're talking the pasuk Varochatsu Mimenu Moshe v'Aaron Uvonov, that even though they didn't serve at the same time, You know what Rashi says? It's the Zayin Yimei Amiluyim. We quote this pasuk and Rashi says we're talking about the Shivis Yimei Amiluyim. Take a look at the Rashi. That's what the Rogachover, that's the novel thing about this Rashi. We're trying to quote to Rashi, where Rashi says, where the pasuk says, "Verachotzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron Rabbanon," which from there with you arrive that we need to have a kira the size that contains the amount of water for four koyanim. Rashi says, quotes this, the Gemara quotes this pasuk, and Rashi says, because in Shivis Yimei Miluim, Moshe was a koyan, right? Doesn't say the eighth day. It says in Shivis Yimei Miluim, there are four koyanim, Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. So Rashi has a problem. Rashi says, look, but they didn't all serve at the same time, as we mentioned. Moshe only serves through the Shivis Yimei Miluim, and Aaron will only eventually serve. Says Rashi, that's a minor problem. But the facts are that Moshe is a koyan and needs to wash his hands. Aaron and his sons are koyan and they have to wash their hands, etc., etc. So the Rogachover going basically says, from this Rashi is clear, that Rashi learns that if we derive that we need to have four koyanim, and we know it from this pasuk, and Rashi says Moshe is in the 7 days of the Miluim, and Moshe is at the time of Kohen, and Aaron is not even at the time of Kohen, but he's a Kohen, so it's very clear that Moshe is washing his hands then. Not like that, what we just understood in this Rashi. So he says from Rashi in Masechta Zevachim, it comes out very clear that Rashi is of the opinion that Moshe does wash, sanctify his hands and feet in the Shivis Yimei HaMiluim. Of course, how and why? Because according to that opinion, we generally learn that the Mishkan, even throughout the 7 days of inauguration, has a criteria of a Mishkan, not of a Bomo. And if that's the case, Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim is needed. Okay? You'll take a look at the Shita Mikubetzitz, which is on the Gideon, on the margin of the Gemara. Then he brings another commentary. And that is that the Gemara is referring to the eighth day of the Miluim. See, because he has a problem with the Rashi. Rashi says, if the Gemara was referring to the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Aaron is not serving at the same time Moshe is serving. So Rashi nevertheless says, don't make it not a big deal. But the Shita Mikubetzis mentions it, and he says, you know, okay, if so, I'll explain the Gemara to mean that we're not referring to the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, we're talking about the eighth day of the Miluim. If it's talking about the eighth day of the Miluim, all are serving at the same time. So we gain that. We that problem we had for the Shivis Yimei HaMiluim, we don't have when we're talking about the eighth day. The eighth day, they're all serving as koyanim, right? And therefore, the eighth day, they're all washing their hands. So that's the second pshat of the Shita Mikubetzis. Basically, the second pshat of the Shita Mikubetzis is the pshat of Rashi on Chumash. You get it? And the pshat of Rashi on the Zohar is the first pshat of the Shita Mikubetzis. And according to the Rogachev Agarn, the argument will be not just, if we prefer to learn from a pasuk where they are all serving at the same time, or if we prefer to learn just in general that they served, the difference will also be if what the criteria of the Mishkan has, the halachic definition of the Mishkan, throughout the 7 days, is it the gedder of a Mishkan or is it a gedder of a bama? Okay. There is the Rambam has a total different approach, and the Marie Kurkus and the Kiryat Sefer, the Mabit, Ramosha Mitrani, the Gedolei HaMeforshim of the Rambam, the known commentaries on the Rambam, they claim that Rambam had a different text in the Shas. According to the Rambam, the Gemara says that each the Kir has to be able to contain enough of four koyanim, okay? And the Gemara quoted, like it says, Verachatsu Mimenu. Verachatsu Mimenu. Which pasuk is that? Verachatsu. It didn't say Moshe v'Yaron. There's a Verachatsu here and there's a Verachatsu there. You get it? So therefore, according to the Rambam says clearly, you know which are the four koyanim? He says, listen, he says, Verachatsu, Aaron, Uvonov, Mimenu, Aaron is one, Vonov, Elozavi, Isomar, and Pinchas. Pinchas. So even though we know of the opinion of the Shas, and Rashi brings it as Pinchas became a koyan only after they killed Zimri, but there is a machloikis on that. And the Rambam accepts this opinion here as a definition. In the basis to say that the kir has to be able to contain four koyanim, enough water for four koyanim, which are they? They are Aaron, two sons, and Pinchas. Moshe is not mentioned whatsoever. You get it? Because Moshe doesn't come into consideration. Otherwise you don't have four.
I understand.
So they discuss it. Not so partial. It's all discussed. The Kesef Mishneh brings on the Rambam, says, he generally substantiates the Rambam. He's not happy with the Rambam. He brings Pirush Rashi, who says we're talking about actually Moshe, Aaron, and his two sons. Nevertheless, the Birchas HaZevach, known that Shmuel Koydenover in his Pirush and Kochim and Mesechta Zvachim, and the Tzoyin Kadoshim and Mesechta Thing, they say basically if you look in our Pirush and what they explain, so the Kesef Mishneh would have seen what we said, he would have definitely been satisfied with the Rambam, he wouldn't have to quote other the Pshat of Rashi. I'm just bringing this to your attention. We're moving on. Rav Atshava raises another point. And I'm surprised none of you asked it. And the Adamema says, I yelled over to highlight the point. I wanted you to notice. I stressed a different point in order to get your mind off the other point you may notice. I therefore highlighted and says, look, here Moshe is not mentioned, here Moshe is mentioned, because I didn't want you to chaparus the Rav Atshava's ha'ara. And that is, but it's so obvious. It says in the first pasuk, V'rochatzu Aaron uvonov mimenu es yedein v'esragleim. Okay, yafeh. Good. In this pasuk it says, V'rochatzu, not a Rav Atshava, etem Aaron, only him, he's bothered with it. Here it says, V'rochatzu mimenu Moshe v'Aaron uvonov es. What does it say, the mimenu? Here the mimenu is written after Aaron uvonov. It says, V'rochatzu, they will wash, or they should wash, or they should sanctify. Who? Aaron, uvonov and his sons, mimenu, from it, from what? From the kiyor. Wonderful. Good. Here it says, V'rochatzu, Aaron, V'rochatzu, they should, or like the Targum explained, the Rashi says, V'rochatzu, they will, or they did, right? Mimenu, from it, from what? From the kiyor, right? Moshe v'Aaron, uvonov, yes, you have his name. Says the Rav Atshava, look, he says, here the mimenu is written after the names, and here the mimenu is written after the verochatzu. Farvos. No, come on. Listen to what he says. The mem is, I'll be honest with you, it's late. But I'll tell you what he says. Not poshut. To me, in other words, I really, lo yoradati l'soiv daito, in other words, I'm still in the midst of searching where else the Rav Atshava may deal with it, and he says clearly that he has already dealt with it and treated it, and most of the time when he does that, frequently, at least quite often, the editors, etc., will find for you where he dealt with it, or they'll refer you or whatever, or if you do a bit of searching, you'll find it. I haven't found it yet, and I think there's some salt and pepper missing. I mean, I'm missing. So, okay, so I'll just address or introduce whatever as much as I felt I can get.
Do we have all this kismayah?
Pardon?
Do we have all of this kismayah?
All not. Nebuch, unfortunately, a lot of it was burnt. Yes, but there's a fair bit which we have, which is now in the process of being published. Yes, we have loads of manuscripts which haven't yet been published. Manuscripts, ksavyadin, or even published stuff which we don't have access to because it's sitting all over the place in different universities or in different tomes by different rabbonim or a different svarim, like buried it wherever, and slowly they're being compiled. Yes, it's happening. So as that goes slowly, you see more and more is coming out, and it's easier to access the stuff, and you have a better, broader perspective of what's happening. Okay, let's move. The Rav Atshava says and brings to our attention as follows. The Gemara says, in Mesichta Yume Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, he first brings to our attention, this we mentioned before, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. He wasn't Stam a Kohen. And that is the opinion of Rav in Mesichta Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Wore the Shemayin B'Gadol. Yes. Of course, if he was a Kohen Gadol, he wore Shemayin B'Gadol. I just said that before. Toisvis in Mesichta Avodah Zarah says that the Anshe Ginzik should have asked, what did he wear for 40 years? Okay, wonderful. Did he wear the 8 garments or not? Set it aside. But whatever the case, we're talking about washing hands now, okay? So the Kohen, he is regarded as a Kohen Gadol, at least, not for 40 years, let it be, but at least for in this period, when he's a Kohen, he's actually a Kohen Gadol, not Stam Kohen. Okay. The Mishnah says in Mesichta Yume Daf Mem Gimel, says the Mishnah, that throughout the year, when the Koyanim, when they enter the Beis HaMikdash to sanctify their hands, they wash their hands from the Kiyor V'Kani, from the Kiyor, right? That's what we just discussed, the Kiyor. Yeah? Good. How do you translate the Kiyor in English? How do they translate it?
Later.
That's what this is.
A Kiyor.
Okay, it's good. A Kiyor is a Kiyor. Weiter. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, says the Gemara, he washes his hands b'kitoy shel zohov, with a kvart, with a mug, with a jug, a golden mug jug. The kiyor of the kanim was made of copper. Okay? Because it's the day of Yom Kippur, that's the way the Pashas learn the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Mefurish and Daf Mem Hei, And the Rambam says, Paskins Mufurish, now when Hitler's Avadis Yom Kippurim, Perik Beis, Halacha, I don't remember exactly what Halacha, I don't want to stomach Hakim Chinik. So it's in Perik Beis, Hitler's Avadis Yom Kippurim, the Rambam records the opinion of the Chachamim and for the reason of the Gemara and Daf Mem Hei. And that is, B'yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol does all the service. He doesn't just do the service, the Avodah which is pertaining to Yom Kippur. He does the Avodah which is pertaining to the daily routine. The Kohen Gadol also does that, right? So the din is that he consecrates his hands with a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from a Kiton Shel Zov, right? Not from the Kir and the Kamer. And the Gemara says, Mipnei Kvoido, out of respect to the Kohen Gadol. So that's why he has a special golden kvort on this day. The Mishnah also mentions other exceptions, which things which are different on Yom Kippur, or in general for the Kohen Gadol, because of as an expression of respect towards the Kohen Gadol. Okay, that Mishnah, so check it out. Is good? Rashi, in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where the Mishnah starts introducing how the Kohen Gadol starts preparing his time, his day for the Avodah. So the fact is that he's consecrated his hands a couple of times through the day. Okay? And the Gemara says basically he did it that every time he undresses, he had to change his garments from the Big Day Lovan to the Big Day Zav, from the white garments to the golden garments, etc., depending on the which Avodah is. So for every undress and for every dressing, he had to be Mekadosh Yod V'Raglav, he had to sanctify his hands and feet. Okay, the Kohen. Anyway, so when the Mishnah starts conveying to us in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis in Perek Gimel Misichta Yuma, I think it's Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalet says the Mishnah that the Mishnah starts introducing to us that the Kohen Gadol comes in and he starts preparing himself and he's Mekadesh Yodov V'Raglov. Okay, so it's basically the initial first time that he consecrates his hands and feet. That's the first time. That's the initial time. Says Rashi Min Hakir from the Kiyor. Don't forget, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, the day of Yom Kippur. Even after the Mishnah said in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that in honor of the Kohen Gadol, he is Mekadosh Yodav Mekitin Shel Zav, and Rabbi Yehuda says daily he's Mekadosh Yodav Mekitin Shel Zav. He does it every day. There's an exception with the Kohen Gadol even daily. The Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Allah is like the Chacham. But we're following the Mishnahs at least that Ladas Chachamim, this Pirish Rashi doesn't seem to follow. Rashi says that the Kiddush Yodav Raglav is Mefurish from the Kisa, from the Kiyor, says Rashi. And the Bar Tanura, if they got a Bar Tanura, the Bar Tanura says the identical thing. Okay, Rashi and the Rabbi says, yeah. So the Tosfos Yom Tov comes and says, Loi Daiku? Gefarma, Hoi Vei. If I would say it, they would lynch me, right? But the Tosfos Yom Tov has right to say it. He says that Rashi and the Bar Tanura weren't meticulous in what they're writing, what they're saying. Because the Mishnah says clearly later that the Kohen Gadol washes his hands, sanctifies his hands from the Kisa and Shel Zav, from the special golden fort. And here Rashi and the Bar Tanura say that it is from the Kiyor. And he says, look at the Rosh, right? Generally the Rosh only brings, the Piskei HaRosh, Rabbeinu Osher, usually brings only halachas, which are pertaining nowadays, but nevertheless, he has a whole section of the Seder Avodah Yom Kippurim. So when it comes to that section, where he initially is sanctifying his hands, says the Rosh, Mefurish, he blends in, and he says, he sanctifies his hands, Mekitein Shel Zav. So it says in the Rosh, Mefurish, Mekitein Shel Zav. It's Poshut, right? Now, interestingly, the Yavitz, Rabbi Yankov, in his commentary on the Mishnah in the Pirush Lechem Shomayim, oh boy, he goes to town. In general, he doesn't like the Tosfos Yom Tov for whatever reason. I can't help you. But you should know it's Mamish Geferlich, what he does to the Tosfos Yom Tov throughout his commentary on Lechem Shomayim. What he does to everybody, but especially to the Tosfos Yom Tov on Mishnahs. Possibly to protect the Bar Tanura, I'm unsure. It's a separate issue. Some will have to leave it to the historians or the scholars or whatever, the bibliographers. Nishmana business. But here he says, listen, there's no question in my mind. He says, we have to protect this Rashi. It's a Mefurish Mishnah. And he says, everybody who learns Masechta Yuma, everybody knows that the Kohen Gadol washes his hands Mekitein Shel Zav on Yom Kippur, right? All of a sudden, Rashi says, Kiyor is a Rashi. Not Rashi missed. Something's wrong. How is that Rashi? He says, listen to this, Moshe Kapur. He says, Rashi Dafka wrote Kiyor. You think Rashi didn't pay attention and wasn't meticulous, right? By mistake, and that's what the Yom Tov seems to say. Like Dyke, says, sorry, Rashi Dafka wrote Kiyor and lets you know that that has to be from the Kiyor. Now listen to what he says. He makes it up. He has a couple of reconciliations because he has to save Rashi, and he says, listen, I'm going out of my way, I'm going out of my mind. I have to save Rashi in the Bar Tanura. It's impossible Rashi to be mistaken. There's one verse which is, we can appreciate what he says, and this is as follows. He says, you know, you also find a difference between the initial tefillah, the initial immersion, when he immerses in the mikveh, there's a difference between the first immersion in the mikveh, and then the rest of the immersions of the mikveh throughout the day. And the Mishnah says basically that the first immersion of the mikveh is a mikveh which is in a place where it is not a holy place. It's not in a sanctified place. B'mokim choil. But the ongoing ones are b'mokim kodosh. The mikveh. The tefillah. So he says, why? Because the initial tefillah was, what's he doing at the beginning of the day? He's doing the mundane, not mundane, but the regular services which are done daily throughout the year, the Kohen Gadol does starts off the day with that. And then as he continues, he goes on to the special assigned things for Yom Kippur, for the day, for the holiday of Yom Kippur. So he says, therefore, to show a distinction between the initial avodah, which is the general service throughout the year, and the special assigned avodah for Yom Kippur, that's where you make a difference between the tefillah, that the immersion, and the place of immersion for the initial avodah was only from even a place where it's not dafka holy. Mashenk, and the immersion in the ongoing service. So he says, for that reason, Rashi says, for the same reason, and that's the basis for Rashi to say this, that Rashi Dafka wrote, that the initial, when he enters the avodah, right, to do the service of the day of Yom Kippur, and he starts, the initial sanctity of hands and feet is for what? Is to start doing the general service which is done throughout the year. And then it continues on. So the initial one, he dafka has to do with the kiyum, and not with the kitten shells off. Because what's the reason we do it with the kitten shells off? To respect, give, express honor to the Kohen Gadol, because that's a special day. So what is that? We're talking about the special avodas of this day. So b'meila, therefore, the first initial one is from the kiyum. That's a chiddush of he's in the Rashi. But listen here. Oh boy, it's late. Hello. The Rav Shavar Goyen brings to our attention, which basically it's already found in the Pirush Maim Chaim, and Agos Maim Chaim from the Prichodesh and the Rambam. And others. And they say that there's a Mefurash Talmud Yerushalmi, it's a Machlokes in Yerushalmi. In Talmud Yerushalmi, on the Mishnah where it says that the Kohen Gadol washes me Kita Shel Zohov, so there's a Machlokes between Rabbi Yoina and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yoina says, Chutz Mehorisha, except for the first one. It says in the Mishnah that he washes his hands me Kita Shel Zohov, so it's Mechutz Mehorisha. Get it? So it's a Mefurash Talmud Yerushalmi, and that's the Mayim Chaim says to the Tosfos Yomtiv, the Prichodesh, Rashi was Madaik, you aren't Madaik. Look at Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi says before she's the Shita of Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says that when the Mishnah says Kitten Shalzav, it means Chutzman or Rishon. So Bamela, the first one has to be from the Kiyum. Basically, why? So the Klechende explains, and it's interesting because the Rambam learns that it's not a must from the Kiyum, but there's a mitzvah in general to wash from the Kiyum. The Ramban and Chumash says there's no big mitzvah, you can wash from anything. The proof that you can wash from anywhere, he says, he brings from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol washed. If there's a special mitzvah to wash from the Kiyur Davka, how could we, Lechatchila, introduce to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the holiest day, that he should walk, do away with the mitzvah, and he should wash from a holy kvart, from a golden kvart, if there was a mitzvah to wash from the Kiyur? So the Rambam learns this b'chol lo mitzvah. You can use the Kitten Shel Zohov also. Masha Enkein, the Rambam says there is a mitzvah. So the Prichodesh, the Klechende wants to say, the basis of the Ram say that yearly, throughout the year, is a special mitzvah with the Kiyur, because look, Rabbi Yonah says that even when we give it to the Kohen, right, we have to make sure that the first, the initial one has to be from the Kiyur. Anyway, listen to what the Rabbi Shavu Goyen says. And I believe the Rabbi Shavu Goyen is learning as follows. He learns, we know the rule is that a Kohen Gadol could do the service throughout the year in the Beis HaMikdash, not after Yom Kippur. That's our Aloch in the Mishnah and the Aloch of Pesukah. But if the Kohen Gadol chooses, even though there are rosters, who's when, so whatever, Kohen Gadol Noitel Chelik Barosh, he can come in and do all the services. And when he does the service, even throughout the year, he has to wear the 8 garments. Okay? Now, I believe the Rav Shavuot learns that this is a halacha dan dafke in the day of Yom Kippur. It's also a halacha for the Kohen Gadol dafke. In other words, the Brisker Rav, Velvel Brisker, in his Chidushi agrees on the Rambam, Chazabadiz Yom Kippur, he says, what taka is the reason that the first one you can use anything? You have to use the kiyur, excuse me. And the second washings you can use a kitten shel zohov. He says, the difference is, he says, because there are two parshas, Parshas Kisisa and Parshas Achrimos. Parshas Kisisa, it speaks about a kiyur. That's washing with a kiyur. Parshas Achrimos is talking about the service in the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur. There's no kiyur mentioned there. It says for a chatzta. So Bemele, he says basically that's the reason why the Talmud Yerushalmi says in the first opinion that the first initial one has to be from the Kiyur. Not so much because it's a mitzvah of the Kiyur. It's because Parshat, he says, because the first initial one refers to the general Avodah, not after the Avodah Yom Kippurim. So that refers to Parshas Kisisa. But the Avodah Yom Kippurim doesn't say Kiyur. That's the Ganga that the Kiddush agrees. My feeling is that the Rav Shavar learns that this is halacha not after Yom Kippur. It's a halacha for the Kohen Gadol. In other words, just like on Yom Kippur, that's the usual thing. The Kohen Gadol does the service of Yom Kippur. But the same will apply. Right, for the Kohen Gadol, it's that covet of the Kohen Gadol. We're also having him washed from the Kisen Shel Zohov. Now listen to what he says. He says, the only possible time, the rule is as follows, he says. The halacha is that the initial one, we're following with Rabbi Yonah, the initial one has to be from the keel, right? The second one can be from a kisrin shel zava, the initial one has to be from the keel. Now, how do we know this? Says the Rabbi Chavar Goyen, the Gemara says in the Sichta Zvach Daf Chav Beis. It says, Verochatsu, or Yirchatsu. It depends from where we learn it, either from the Verochatsu or the Yirchatsu. But what even Rashi says, we know it from the Yirchatsu, other Rishonim say we know it from the Verochatsu. So there's a word in the Parsha where it speaks about washing the hands from the Kir, which we include any clay shoris, any sanctified keli, vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, can serve the purpose of washing the Kohen Gadol, sanctifying his hands. The Mina says the Rogat Shavar going as follows. Here we go. When it comes to the regular Parsha Verochatsu, let's go back to Parsha Sisis and I'm finishing. Verochatsu Aharon of one of Mimenu. He says, you know, Mimenu, everybody will explain, Mimenu means from the Kir, right? Mimenu, that's what we're talking about, the Kir, that's clear. It's a Mefurish, you take out a Gemara Zvachim, Mimenu, it's Pshat. Mimenu from the Kir. Now, but if Mimenu is not mentioned yet, when you say Verochatsu Aharon of one of, right? You can say, Aaron and Ivanov wash their hands or have to wash their hands. And you didn't explain what yet. We can say from anything, right? It can be from the kir. And it can be also from a clay shoris, any other sanctified vessel, right? So that's why it says, Dafka over here, the Mimenu afterwards. Because the halacha is throughout the year, when it comes to Aaron and Ivanov, right? When we're doing the regular services, in other words. The regular services, that's the regular service which we're talking about. We're not talking about Dafka's service of a Kohen Gadol, even though Aaron was a Kohen Gadol, right? So we're talking about the regular services in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Verochatsu Aharon Levonov, and the Mimenu is, so to speak, secondary. Of course we're talking about the Kir, but because we also want to include that the washing can take place and be performed not just by the Kir, but even by any other sanctified vessel, so we say in general, Verochatsu Aharon Levonov, and the Mimenu comes secondary, and from the Kir. Okay. But when we come to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says that he was a Kohen Gadol, the Shivas Yimei Miluim, right? He was definitely a Kohen Gadol. In the Mele Verochatsu Mimenu, Moshe V'Aaron Uvonov. He says, what did the Talmud Yerushalmi say? That the initial one has to be from a Kir, must be from the Kir. The second one can be from just a standard sanctified vessel. Okay, that's why we're talking about Moshe. It says Verochatsu Mimenu Moshe V'Aaron Uvonov. Mimenu means they wash, you know, not from everything, from Mimenu. Right away we let you know where they're washing from. Mimenu from the Kir. Why Dafka, when we talk about the Kohen Gadol has to wash Dafka from the Kir, and he explains why, when can we use the other vessels? We can use the other vessels if you make the initial washing. The Kohen Gadol initially washes from the Kir, right? That's where it says Verochatsu Mimenu. He's washing from the Kir. I'm finishing. Woo! Yeah? And then there's a need to... He's taking the helmet. And then there's a need to wash... To wash again. Washing, you have to wash again if you had it initially washed. So the Gemara says, if in Yom Kippur, every time he changes his clothes, throughout the year, if a Kohen Gadol has to wash his... Wash again, wash it, he has to... He's Masiach Das. If his mind starts floating away from keeping his hands intact, or his feet intact, so he has to wash his hands again. Says the Rabbi Chever Goyen, you want to know something? Even though from the Pasuk Verochatsu, I incorporate Klei Shoreis, but this never can occur by Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it never can occur that he should wash initially from the Kir, and then again thereafter have to wash again from a Klei Shoreis. You know why? Because what is Hesach Hadas? He brings, and here we come from a Mor Nevuchim. The Mor Nevuchim says, in the opening comments to his second Mor Nevuchim, says the Rambam Arucha, he says, for a human being, for us to be able to comprehend and absorb and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the secrets of the universe, the secrets of creation, the secrets of the Lord of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc., right? That's Maisa Vresha, that's Maisa Merkava, it's impossible. Why? Because we have a Grub Aguf, right? So we're in the dark. We're in the dark. He says, but you know, sometimes you can be in the dark and all of a sudden there's a lightning. It becomes so light, like as if it's daytime, right? Says the Rabbi Trevor going, listen to this. He says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, he describes Moshe Rabbeinu. Gadol HaNevi and Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a lightning one after another. So by him, nighttime was like daytime. He never had a problem. There was never a hell in the Hester by Moshe Rabbeinu. There was never such a mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't connected. There was never a mitzvah that he wasn't with the Lord. There was never a mitzvah that his mind went off. His concentration on remaining and being sanctified and being with sanctity. Right? How is it shaykh in the base on Mikdash? You should start thinking about something else that you have to wash your hands again. Only by a posh at the coin, shaykh. Moshe Rabbeinu shaykh. And he says, why? Because it says the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says, because it says, Kikoran or Ponov. it says that he was radiant. He was radiant. In other words, because the Gilu Yalikus, the revelation of godliness, shone over him, and he was connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, he was only radiant. It was like daytime by him. He's a certain Nevi'im. They sometimes there's a lightning and it takes a couple of hours. There should be another lightning. So it's dark in between. So therefore you don't really have the correct perceptions of the Hesach Hadas. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu can never have a Hesach Hadas. So it says, therefore, by Moshe, when we're dealing with Moshe, it's Verocha Tzumi Menu, the only mitzvah, the only possibility that when Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol, is serving in the Mishkan, right? And if he has to sanctify his hands, there'll never be a possibility he should have to wash over again. So by him, the halacha that we can wash with a kidney shol zov as a second thing, as a second time around, can never happen by Moshe. That's why by him, where it says Moshe, it says Baruch Atum Imenu. We're only washing from the kir. Where if we're talking about other kohenim, even a kohen gadol like Aaron, nevertheless, there's room for hesach hadas. There's room for the mind to start, floating and wandering. So therefore, there's also room for the klesheres. Therefore, it says Baruch Atzu Aaron Nevolov Mimenu. Because even the klesheres, there's a time that he'll have to use a klesheres. Good day, and I must daven. I'm very late. It's a nest that the government's.